This is 1988 Tops, where every card has a story to tell. Your hosts are David McKellis and Matt Kuzma. Let's play ball. Welcome back to 1988 Tops. David, what's our card for this week?
Our card this week is card number 442, Tom Bolton, pitcher for the Boston Red Sox.
All right, Tom Bolton, and before we get to Tom, we have some follow-up from last week's episode about Tim and Tom Brookins.
A couple listeners have reached out with a question about Tim and Tom Brookins and Tom Brookins' Wikipedia specifically. In the family section of that Wikipedia article, it says, Brookins' twin brother Tim was also drafted in 1975 by the Texas Rangers. He was later traded to the Tigers organization, but never made the majors. In spring training, Tim and Tom would sometimes switch identities, even suiting up in each other's uniforms. Tim is believed to have played at least one exhibition game disguised as Tom, and then in parentheses, citation needed. So we have a possible Tim and Tom Brookins parent trap situation.
Yes.
Whether or not they tricked Sparky Anderson into getting back together with his ex-wife. I can't say for sure, but if anybody has a better citation than parentheses citation needed, we would love to see it. If anyone finds a documented proof of this, or if Tim or Tom Brookins want to call in and verify or debunk this fun fact that could have been included on the back of the card, we'd love to hear from you.
I'm really curious what our friends at Baseball Reference might do in the situation where a twin brother has assumed the identity of a player, and what kind of asterisk, footnote, or other marking would be used to, you know, note that the stats from that game could have been genetically identical to the actual player.
We may get further into this in the Ozzy / Jose Canseco episode.
Well, thank you to all of the friends of the show out there that sent that in. If you have comments about the show, suggestions, please send it to our email, 1988topspodcast@gmail.com. But now let's go to this week's episode and Tom Bolton. And why are we talking about Tom today?
Matt, I am recording remotely. This is our first remote record. We have done remote editing sessions from international locations far and wide, but never a remote record. So I am currently in Franklin, Tennessee, just outside of Nashville. And so I asked friend of the pod and nephew of Big Mike Smithson, Ryan, for a suggestion of another prominent Tennessean, and he suggested Tom Bolton. And so we are fans of Mr. Bolton's entire catalog. Well, Michael Bolton's entire catalog. But we also accept Tom Bolton. We're also fans of the entire 1988 Topps catalog, but particularly those with Sabre bios on weeks where we are traveling. And Tom's Sabre bio is written by Gary Gillette, and so we appreciate Gary's work and all the work of the Sabre bio community. Tom Bolton played 19 years of professional baseball, 3 full seasons in the major leagues, and parts of 5 other seasons in MLB. He didn't play on the 1986 Red Sox, so we don't have to worry about any embarrassing RBI baseball missed opportunities. But he was on the 87 Red Sox, and so we get a 1988 Topps Tom Bolton.
I said I loved you, but I lied. Let's go to the front of card 442, and we have Tom Bolton in what is definitely the darkest outside background that we've seen on a card. We've had some dark backgrounds inside the dugout, but here we have Tom Bolton, this photo taken at dusk, in parts unknown.
Yeah, I think this picture was taken in Mordor.
Yes. You can see the Eye of Sauron in the distance. It's a very long, long way to go.
As Nigel from Spinal Tap might say, how much more black could it be? And the answer is none. None more black. Why is this card so dark? They put him in an ominous, possibly evil setting. Maybe deep in a mine. And then they dressed him in a black jacket with a black hat. And the only color on this is his glove. And I think it was cold out, so he has a bright red nose. Or he was sipping some Tennessee whiskey.
He looks frozen. Yet it's got to be a spring training shot, right? I mean, this has got to be Florida in the middle of the night or close to it. I recalled when seeing this photo, the Jody Reed photo, and looked through some of the other Red Sox cards in the set. And there are a couple other players where they had this kind of shot from spring training. Most of the cards for Red Sox are action shots at the plate. You've got a really good Ellis Burks card, for example. This Tom Bolton card, it looks like he's being held against his will. This is what I was saying. This is a cry for help, this card.
He's got a little bit of a smile, but it's more like he was told, you have to smile for this picture.
It's as much as his frozen lips can handle. Tom Bolton's 26 in this photo. He looks like 1926 in this photo. He looks like he could have walked right out of Field of Dreams and into this shot. This does not look like a 26-year-old man. A good mustache, but I really think a mustache for a much older man. Let's go to the back of card 442, and we have Tom Bolton, pitcher, height 6'3", 175, left-handed thrower and batter. Drafted in the 20th round by the Red Sox in 1980. Born May 6th, 1962 in Nashville, Tennessee, with a home in Brentwood, Tennessee.
So the elephant in the room here, is Tom related to that other Bolton? And I imagine when asked, he said, why should I change my name when he's the one who sucks? But in actuality, Michael Bolton is not Michael Bolton. His given name was Michael Bolotin, B-O-L-O-T-I-N. And he was born in New Haven, Connecticut, so not a Tennessean. I'm not saying they're not related, but this Bolotin versus Bolton, my world was thrown into a tizzy when I learned that Michael Bolton himself was one who changed his name. So the poor man from Office Space, that the singer changed his name and ruined his life. Also not related to Ramsey Bolton of Game of Thrones fame or the Bolton Wanderers Football Club. There are a few other famous Tom Boltons, including a former mayor of Liverpool, a couple other British politicians, and then an astronomer born in Nashville in 1943, educated at the University of Illinois, master's PhD from Michigan. This astronomer, Tom Bolton, was one of the first in his field to present strong evidence of the existence of a stellar mass black hole. And sadly, he passed away in 2021. So we have Tom Bolton, the astronomer, but here we have Tom Bolton, the baseballer, born in Nashville. And at this point on the card, he lived in Brentwood. As we were driving from the Nashville airport to Franklin, we drove through Brentwood. I would be remiss if I didn't point out that my wife said, Brentwood, I think that's where that cult from that documentary I was watching was. Brentwood was the home of, or former home, of the now deceased Gwen Shamblin Lara, who was the founder of the Christian diet program, The Way Down, and subject of the HBO documentary, The Way Down, God, Greed, and the Cult of Gwen Shamblin, but also home to many professional athletes, musicians, including Mookie Betts, all of the Tennessee Titans and Nashville Predators, musicians like Meatloaf, Marty Robbins, Kesha, Dolly Parton, and America's number one Garth Brooks. Tom grew up in Antioch, and Antioch is about 12 miles southeast of downtown Nashville, but still technically in the city of Nashville. And this area extends from Nolensville Road in the west to Percy Priest Lake on the east. Percy Priest Lake, famously referenced in the Jason Isbell song Cover Me Up, that lake was created by the J. Percy Priest Dam, which was completed in 1967. Also, I referenced this Gwen Shamblin. In 2021, she died in a plane crash. Her plane crashed into Percy Priest Lake. That area, known as Antioch, grew in the 1970s thanks to the expansion of the Nashville sewer system to the area. More recently, between 1990 and 2015, the population more than doubled from 35,000 to 90,000. Tom was one of six kids. His parents were William and C. Willow Bolton, and that's an amazing name, C. Willow. This is probably the earliest in an episode that we have gone to a fun fact. We have a very early fun fact on the card.
Yeah, that is that Tom works as a cabinet maker in family business.
And that's the second half of this fun fact. William, his dad, was a cabinet maker, and Tom learned the trade and participated in the family business in the off season while he was playing baseball. And his mom, C. Willow, she lived to 94 and passed away in 2022. When she passed away, she had 14 grandchildren, 20 great-grandchildren, and one great-great-grandchild. So a heck of a life for C. Willow Bolton, and that's one of the best names we have come across here.
Tom went to Antioch High School. They are not called the Holy Hand Grenades, which is a missed opportunity. They're called the Bears instead. And the other half of the fun fact was that Tom was a 1980 graduate of Antioch High School, where he was MVP of baseball team as a senior. Famous alumni from Antioch High, Michael Wayne Atha, better known as rapper Yellow Wolf. Financial personality, Dave Ramsey. U.S. Senator Tom Tillis. Jason DeFord, back in 2014, he posted on Facebook, "I'm so Antioch, I made Antioch famous." David, you're going to have to tell me more about Jason DeFord.
Yeah, back when he posted that in 2014, he was a marginally successful rapper who was passing out mixtapes. But this year, 2023, he is one of the biggest names in popular music. He won 3 Country Music Television Awards for his song "Son of a Sinner," and Jason DeFord is Jelly Roll, and Jelly Roll just kind of blew up this year, but he's also from Antioch. And as I was walking around Franklin, I saw Nashville Scene magazine, and Jelly Roll was on the cover of it. So, big year for Jelly Roll. For me, every year is a big year for Jelly Rolls. At Antioch, Tom helped the Bears win the Class AAA state title as a junior. He went 9-2, and one of those losses was in the best-of-3 state title series against Knoxville South Young High School. Antioch won the other 2 games to win the title, and Tom had a home run in one of those wins as well. He was well-regarded not only as a pitcher, but also as an outfielder. His senior year was the other half of that fun fact. I didn't find out who won the MVP of his junior year, but he went 9-2, so somebody must have had a really great year. His senior year, he went 10-1, overall 26-4 in his high school career with an ERA of 1.06 and 279 strikeouts.
He was considering going to the University of Tennessee to study architecture, but they didn't want him as a pitcher. They wanted him to play outfield. So he committed to Cumberland University instead. But then the Red Sox reached out and asked if he would sign with them if they drafted him. During his senior season, he was scouted by George Digby. Again, this is not the George Digby that was the second Earl of Bristol. He died in 1677. This
different
is the
guy.
George Digby.
Totally different.
Different guy. This is the George Digby who signed Mike Greenwell, Jody Reed, and Wade Boggs. George Digby was only in Nashville to buy a car, but he got a tip, stopped by Antioch, and it turned out Tom was pitching, and he liked what he saw. That was enough to pick Bolton in the 20th round, the 518th pick. The Red Sox picked Al Nipper in the 8th round and Oil Can Boyd in the 16th round. They picked Dave Magadan in the 12th round, but he didn't sign.
Tom signed for that 20th round selection. I'm not sure if he got a great signing bonus. And he went to Elmira, low A ball, and he was told that he wouldn't need a car. Somebody gave him bad advice because he ended up living 7 miles from the ballpark. He had to call cabs, catch rides with friends, and just had a difficult, really difficult time dealing with this change.
Did he get a bike at least, or what?
I would hope so. I don't know. I don't know what the bike infrastructure was in the 1980s in upstate New York. Tom spent some of his time in Elmira as a closer, and he said it was because he was one of the only guys on the team who could throw strikes. He pitched well in 23 games, had a 6-2 record, 2.41 ERA, and a whip of 1.16. He had one start, and that was a complete game shutout in the last game of the season. He actually had a perfect game through 6 and a no-hitter with 2 outs in the 9th, and he lost his no-hitter very late in the game, but he still got the complete game shutout in his only start of the season.
The next 2 seasons, he was at A-level Winter Haven, a control pitcher, still learning. The first year, he had a 4.5 ERA in 92 innings. And we should note that the card is incorrect. The card has an error. On the 1981 Winter Haven line, the card says he had a 2.29 ERA, which is significantly different from 4.5. He had 92 innings and 46 earned runs, which means an earned run every 2 innings. That's a 4.5 ERA. This card must be extremely valuable with this error on it, David. And I am looking forward to an apology from the Topps Corporation.
Yeah, if I would have looked at this card and seen that he had a 2.29 ERA, I would have assumed that he got sent to Double A the next year. But no, he stayed in Winter Haven because he actually had a 4.5 ERA, needed a little bit more time. His second year, he brought his ERA down to 2.99 in 162 innings, was named to the Florida State League All-Star team, and had a really good year. Did get promoted that next year to Double A, where he was still good, 7-3, 2.89 ERA in 16 starts. Good enough to get promoted to Triple A Pawtucket, but in six games, he went 0-5 with an ERA over 6. And Tom said he just wasn't ready. He had been dealing with an injury, and he didn't throw the ball well, and he was sent back down to Double A.
That offseason of 1983, Tom dealt with doubts about his career, and his father passed away unexpectedly. Tom's mind was in other places, dealing with the family trauma and the family business and professional disappointment that he's still in the minors at this point. 1984 and 85 were kind of mediocre seasons for him at AA. He was a combined 9-11 in 67 games with an ERA over 4. And at this point, he's 23. He didn't go to college. He came to baseball right out of high school, but it's looked like maybe he's peaked at AAA and his career looks stalled.
He thought about leaving baseball altogether to concentrate on the family cabinet business full time. In a parallel with Tom Brookins, who we discussed last, Bolton had what would appear to be an unlucky incident in spring training, but would turn out to be fortuitous. He was hit in the jaw by a line drive, and that kept him out for 2 months. In the time away from the game, he grew to really appreciate baseball and said he realized how much it meant to him and decided he would give it another go. So he comes back, and at AAA Pawtucket, in 29 games, 7 starts, he had a 2.72 ERA, cut his walks significantly, and had a whip of 1.22. He comes back rejuvenated with his mind back in the game and is ready to go.
1987, he starts the season at AAA, goes 2-1 in 4 starts, then pitched on loan in a charity game at Shea Stadium, which was a rematch of the 1986 World Series. He went 6 innings, gave up only 2 runs on 4 hits, made a really good impression, and 2 days later, he was officially called up. Made his first appearance against the Twins on May 17th, got the first strikeout of his major league career against Kirby Puckett. Pitched 2 innings and gave up 1 unearned run in a loss.
He got his first win on July 25th against Seattle when he came in to replace Oil Can Boyd in a 5-5 game in the 5th inning. He pitched 5 scoreless innings as Boston won 11-5. On the year, in 29 games, he had a 4.38 ERA, which doesn't look great on paper, but that was a 105 ERA plus thanks to pitching at Fenway Park and in a high-scoring environment in 1987. He did give up 5 home runs that year. All were solo home runs. In his career, Tom kept home runs low. In this season, all solid players hit home runs off them. He gave up 2 to Joe Carter, 1 to Mr. Mariner, Alvin Davis, 1 to Kevin Seitzer, and 1 to Kelly Gruber. So all guys who were all-star caliber players. That July win in relief of Oil Can Boyd was his only decision on the season.
That's the last line on this card, but he's got plenty other seasons to go. Prior to 1988, he visited doctors with flu symptoms and back problems. It turns out it was a urinary tract infection. That's the first time we've mentioned, I think, that ailment on the pod. The doctor suggested surgery, but a second opinion told him that it could be delayed, allowing Tom to pitch. So he started again at Pawtucket, staying there until June, and was called up on June 16th, then not again until July 5th. On July 5th, the Red Sox were 2 games over 500 and in 4th place. But by August, the Joe Morgan magic had kicked in, and they were 61-43 in a tight race for the AL East with the Tigers.
Tom got the first save of his career, pitching the last 3 innings of a 16-4 win over Detroit on August 13th. He pitched in 28 games, had an ERA that was pretty high, 4.75. The Red Sox ultimately won the AL East and played Oakland in the ALCS. Tom made the roster but didn't pitch as the Oakland A's swept the Red Sox. After the season, we have another thing that I don't think we've ever said on the podcast. In Tom's words, he said he had, quote, old urine that was poisoning his body. And so he finally had surgery to drain that from that urinary tract infection. Probably a good idea to get rid of the old urine poisoning your body.
Indeed. 1989, Tom was back at AAA, 12-5 with a 2.89 ERA. But when he got called up, he was used as a starter and struggled this time. In four starts, he gave up 18 runs in 17 innings. Tom generally got along with the manager, Morgan, better than John McNamara, who never really gave him a real chance to be a starter. 1990 would end up being Tom's best season as a big leaguer. Once again, it starts in Pawtucket in AAA, and that start was delayed.
As Tom was headed out from Nashville to Pawtucket, his wife, Diane, went into labor with the couple's first child, so Tom stayed back in Nashville. When he joined the Paw Sox, he developed tendonitis after one game and spent a few weeks on the DL. So he only pitched in four AAA games before getting called to Boston, and initially he's coming out of the bullpen. He got a win in a seven-inning relief appearance on July 1st, and then by mid-July, he's in the rotation, making 16 starts and pitching really effectively for a Red Sox team that would win the AL East. In those starts, he went 8-5 with 3.21 ERA. He had three complete games, all in all threw a career-high 119 and two-thirds innings, and had a 10-5 record with a 121 ERA+. So a really good year. At this point, he's throwing a fastball, curveball, slide, changeup. He relies more on changing speeds, having movement and control, and he didn't give up a lot of home runs, so he's able to get out of a lot of jams if he walks somebody or gives up a hit just by keeping the ball on the ground.
He had good command of his curveball all year. He also pitched well in low-scoring games. There were five starts where he had 0-2 runs of support, and he had a 1.96 ERA in those games, keeping the games close, which is really important in a pennant race. He said, "I was in a zone. If you're playing in a pennant race, that's wonderful, but even more so in Boston, Massachusetts."
I'm sure that endeared him to the Red Sox faithful, saying something like that.
Of course, of course. The Red Sox won 88 games, held off the Blue Jays for the AL East title, and like in 1988, they faced the A's in the ALCS. This time, Tom got to pitch, though. He made two relief appearances, pitching three scoreless innings, but alas, the A's swept the Red Sox again. 1991, Tom started strong. In his first four appearances, he was great. Three of them were starts, one was a five-inning relief appearance. And in 25 innings altogether, he gave up only three earned runs and a 3-0 record. But after that start, he was less consistent, and his ERA rose from 1.08 to 4.5 at the All-Star break.
He also didn't have good luck with run support. In his 19 starts, he got 0-2 runs in seven of them. That included three straight starts where the Red Sox were shut out in late May, early June. Tom didn't pitch particularly well in those games, but if the team isn't going to score any runs, it doesn't matter. Combined, they lost those three games 18-0. He was sent back to the bullpen, then to the DL with a back issue, missing a month from July to August. He came back, made a few bullpen appearances, and then had three starts to close out the season. In those three starts, he gave up 13 earned runs in 11 innings. So just a rough close to the year. On the year, he was 8-9 with an ERA over 5.
In the offseason after 1991, Tom asked for a raise from $290,000 to $710,000. The sides finally settled on $470,000, which is definitely splitting the difference in the Red Sox favor. Although it was a decent raise, considering that Tom didn't really have a great season. He started 1992 in the bullpen and was pretty good in 21 appearances, a 3.41 ERA in 29 innings. Only made one start, which was a loss on June 10th. Then on July 9th, he was traded to the Reds for Billy Hatcher. Tom said this should have been a good spot for him because Cincinnati is close to his home in Nashville. He was joining a team that was in first place. As it turned out, he didn't like pitching for Marge Schott, but then again, who did? And he didn't pitch particularly well. He had a 5.24 ERA in 16 appearances, 8 starts, as the Reds faded from contention and finished 8 games behind Atlanta.
He signed with the Tigers expecting to start, but then he had a rough spring training and he was in the bullpen. He made 43 appearances. He was 6-6 with a 96 ERA+, so pretty average. He had a stretch of 5 starts in August where he went 4-1 with a 2.87 ERA, and that was good enough for Sparky Anderson to ask him back in 1994. He's got a good left arm. He can start a few games, pitch out of the bullpen. And so he signed an extension in December. But going into 1994, he was one of a group of pitchers fighting for the last spot in a 10-man pitching staff. And in March, for salary reasons, he was cut. And that meant that the Tigers only had to pay him $90,000 of his $500,000 salary. Tom took the opportunity to stay with his family in Florida and take the family to Disney World.
It's a good idea. Good job, Tom. He signed with Baltimore in March of 1994. He started at AAA for the Orioles, pitching well and earning a call-up. He had mixed results in his first five games. He gave up only one hit and no runs in five innings. But then in his next 17 games, he had a 7.0 ERA. And then the strike happened. He spent the next couple of seasons in AAA, first for his hometown team, Nashville, which was the White Sox AAA club. And he was there for 1995, going 5-7 in 19 games. 1996, he was released and signed a AAA deal with Pittsburgh and was decent for their Calgary team.
But in 1997, his ERA for Calgary was over 8, and he's released. But he didn't want to give up just yet. He's 35, but he felt like he still had a little bit left in the tank. He signed with a independent league team not far from Nashville, the Columbia Mules, and he made four starts, pitched well, and then he was picked up by Milwaukee's AAA affiliate in Tucson. And in 15 appearances, he had a 6 ERA. He went back home, signed with Nashville again, who are now the Pittsburgh affiliate, and he was signed to pitch, but he spent most of the year as a pitching coach. And then late in the season, he made three appearances to close out his career for his hometown club. He pitched in four innings, but had a fitting end to his career back home in Nashville.
So after 1998, he ended his career with Nashville after 19 seasons and closing the book on Tom Bolton, 8 seasons in the major leagues with 209 appearances, 56 of them starts. He had a record of 31 wins and 34 losses with a 4.56 ERA, which that's a 93 ERA plus, in 540 innings. In the minor leagues, he played 16 seasons, making 346 appearances, a record of 79 and 71, and a 3.88 ERA. How about in retirement?
Tom and his wife Diane live in the Nashville area. They had three kids, Kevin, Eric, and Kelly. And for a while, Tom worked in a cabinetry business, still running the family business. And then after that shut down, he went into real estate, specializing in residential real estate. He also taught baseball at an academy, and he golfs in his spare time. And in 2008, in recognition of that great career at Antioch High School, he was inducted into the Metropolitan Nashville Public Schools Sports Hall of Fame.
Well, David, the episode started with us really lost in the darkness of the front of this card. I didn't really know anything about Tom Bolton coming into it, but now that we've looked at him a little bit more, what do we think?
Tom Bolton said that his mother liked to say he was too lazy to work and too scared to steal, and so he had to find something to do. I think that he was maybe being a little modest about being too lazy to work, because cabinetry is difficult work, and a lot of these guys, they had to have second jobs in the offseason. Tom Bolton, early in his career, wasn't making money. He spent a lot of time in the minors before he finally made it to the Red Sox. And luckily for us, and luckily for Tom, he didn't give up on baseball, even when his world was thrown into turmoil with the death of his father and some of those injuries, and maybe just feeling like he was stuck. And he never gave up on baseball. I bet if his body hadn't told him to stop, he would have still been pitching. 19 seasons in professional baseball at various levels that couldn't have been easy. His saying, as long as you have a uniform, you have a chance, is kind of an inspirational quote. As long as somebody's willing to sign you, and if you got a left arm and you can throw the baseball, there's a spot for you on at least a AAA team. And he put together a solid career as a sometimes rotation guy, sometimes a middle reliever. There's nothing really spectacular except for that 1990 season where he, I think, probably holds some space in the minds of Red Sox fans as one of the guys on that team when they were in the middle of that drought before they finally won a World Series, that some of those guys could really hold a place in somebody's memory just by being on one of those playoff teams. And Tom Bolton had a really good season and had a few good seasons for the Red Sox. It's unfortunate that this card isn't the prettiest one that we've had, but Tom had a pretty good career.
He got drafted when he had just turned 18 and then played 19 years of professional baseball afterwards. What a long, long career as a pitcher. I guess eventually he got a car so he would easily get to the games.
It's easier to get around Boston without a car than it is to get around Elmira in New York.
Very true. Well, thank you for the story today, David. And thank you to you at home. If you'd like to show us a little time, love, and tenderness, we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Threads, on Facebook, or really pretty much any channel at 1988 Tops Podcast. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next week.